Hallelujah. Chapter 4. Listen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, in 2 Timothy, if you are with me, chapter 4, I pray that somebody will just catch something here. Amen. Hear what Apostle Paul was telling Timothy from verse 2. He said, preach the word. He was reminding a young pastor that he produced. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. That is, don't relax. Whether they bring their tithe and offering or not, preach it. Whether then they frown their face when they preach them, preach it. Hallelujah. Hey, we never take offering. Shall I go on? He said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves what? Teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Itching ears. A time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Where is the symbol of endurance and hearing? Is the ear. Hallelujah. Now, understand this with me, sister. Somebody sent a note to me this morning and said, Pastor, you are deviating. You told our sisters that they can wear a ring only when they are coming to church, they should remove it. I said, hey, Moses, hello. Amen. You are saying one thing, somebody is hearing another. Amen. Listen, church. Listen. A time will come. This is the Spirit of the Lord speaking in prophecy. A time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So, what do you think physically will be manifesting in the church to confirm that time that has come, where people are no more enduring sound doctrine? Just as you give the same interpretation to what women are doing to their hair, is the same thing also. Look at these churches that encourage women to wear earrings, when we know in Israel, wearing of earring and putting of a hole in the ear is a symbol of a slave that refused freedom. And if a time comes in the church now, because when the church was being restored in the days of John Wesley, you can't even wear wedding ring. This is smuggling, small. Brah. Why? The time it is for spiritual people to know that prophecy has been fulfilled. And if there is any time that people no longer want to hear the truth, it is now. The church does not want to hear the truth. It is now. How do we know it? Something that was a symbol of slavery, a slave that refused freedom, has become fashion in the church. And we are looking at it and thinking it is ordinary fashion. It is not ordinary fashion. It is not a symbol of beauty. To the spiritual man, it is a gospel letting us know that that prophecy has been fulfilled. That churches now, children of God now, have itching ears. They turn their ears away from the truth. And now, listening to fables. Show me the churches that grow by the millions every day. Show me the churches that harvest billions of naira every year. Show me if you can see the pattern of such churches in the Bible. Why? The time has come, sister, when the Spirit of God is not Pastor Moses, it's the Holy Ghost. And this is the present truth that tells you to put away. Put away. Put away is put away. Put away is put away. Those worldly dresses. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he says, what will happen to such a person? The person will be deluded. We looked at the spirit of delusion 2 weeks ago. And forever, that person will remain a slave. Forever, that person will never get freedom again. Forever. Confirm that in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Just read it on your own. The first 2-3 verses there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you look at Judges chapter 8, verse 28. Hallelujah. Gideon was telling the people, amen, to receive from their neighbor their golden earrings. And verse 24, Judges chapter 8, verse 24 there, let us know that those people there, they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. I'm reading Bible, let's open it. Some people will go and talk another thing tomorrow. Judges chapter 8. Hallelujah. Verse 23 says, and Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my soul rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. And Gideon said unto them, I will desire a request of you, that you will give me every man the earrings of his prey, those that they had captured. For they, those preys, had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. It means the identity of the Ishmaelites was what? Was what? That is, if you see a woman going, you want to know whether she's a Jew or an Ishmaelite, what is the symbol you will see in that woman? It's an earring. Now, who is Ishmael? Oh, does that mean anything to anybody here? Who is Ishmael? Was the son of a slave. And therefore his children forever must look like slaves. I think we have something like Osu in Igbo land. Ishmael was the son of a slave. And forever everything that pertained to Ishmael must symbolize that slavery. That statement is not just put there anyhow. We also look at, then we understand Genesis chapter 35. Let's read it. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 35. Now. You say you will not drop your earrings because it is not written anywhere, thou shalt not wear earring. Yes, now it's not written anywhere because you have no eyes to see where it is written in the Bible. But our eyes of understanding, he has opened it. And I want yours to be open too if your own is still blind. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, open your eyes. Tell him, don't be afraid. Open your eyes. Oh, okay. The eyes maybe blind. Tell him like this, I command your eye to be open in Jesus' name. Help your neighbor's eyes to be open. Are we there? Chapter 35. Let me read from verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, he is going now to the presence of God. First and foremost, and to all that were with him, who put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. There are some garments we wear that are strange to Christianity. That's why in this church, we will not allow you to wear sleeveless dress and come here, sister. A woman dresses and covers up her body. That's why we tell you how you should dress. Strange. The first thing is strange. Put away the strange gods. Now, listen. When he said strange gods, you know that Jacob never worshipped any idol. I hope you know that. Anything that is a god is anything to you that is dear to your heart. You can't do without it. But there are some things that you cannot do without, that the Bible calls them strange. They should not be found among Christians. The Holy Ghost says so. Now, see some of them. Now, he mentioned one. And let us arise, verse 3, and go up to Bethel. And I will make an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand. And what? And all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Earring was strange in Israel. If you don't catch that, I don't know what else you will catch in the Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But there were places where you will see, somebody was quoting that when Eliezer went to get Rebekah for Isaac, he among the gifts he took to Rebecca included a ring, neck chain, bracelets, and things like that. Now listen, church. Was it Abraham that gave him a ring to send to Rebecca? You don't understand me. Is Eliezer the son of Abraham? Who was Eliezer? He was a slave. So if a slave is to give you gifts, what will he give you? Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, earring is strange. Why? Because it is a symbol of slavery. That is not just ordinary slavery, perpetual slavery. A slave forevermore. The slave that can never turn back again. And brethren, I have proved through the spirit of delusion that there are some people that God himself has caused them and put them in a condition to make them believe a lie so that they will never be saved. Did I prove that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? Because they refuse the truth that will set them free. Therefore, God has to cause them to believe a lie by deluding them so that they will be destroyed. It's a mystery of salvation that you need to catch, church. Don't just be a church goer. Know what you have put your hand into. This journey from earth to glory is full of mysteries that you will think you are saved when you don't even know anything that pertains to salvation. Then you will understand Matthew chapter 7 from verse 13, where the Lord said that enter in through the straight gate. There is a gate that is straight. The way is narrow. Straight there is rough. It's a rough road. Rough road. Rough gate. He said, few, only few people pass through that place. But there's another way. The gate is wide. The way is broad. He said, many people follow there, but the end is what? It's destruction. This way is not unbelieving way. It's the Christian way. There are two ways. Take the narrow one or take the wide one. And those two gospels are on the land today. Come anyhow you like. Whether you're a thief, doesn't matter. You're an armed robber, doesn't matter. Provided you can pay your tithe, that's all, that's all. God is well pleased with that type of sacrifice. So who would not like to go to such a church? Jesus Christ says, you follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. Tell me anything that you look for in this world that will benefit you, that is free. It must cost you something. It must cost you something. Why do we go to take our bath? At the end of the day, before you sleep, you will go and take your bath. That's for those who bath 2 times a day. As some people now once, then they bath. Okay, even if now once you they bath. Why do you bath every day? Why not just bath once and that's all? Why? Because this body will continue to accumulate dirty. Dirty. You must go and clean it up. The word of God is the water of life. Use the word of God. That is what we do when we come to church. Like this. Hear the word and see any dirty that you picked from the world. Any stupid fashion that you picked from the world. Through the word of God, it is washed out of your heart. This time around, it is the heart that it is washed from. For out of the abundance of the heart, you dress like prostitutes. I have tried to really imagine how a Christian woman, how you really understand God, to put up some of those funny and stupid dresses they put up. To even go to church. To even go to church. You would dress and select a cloth. Church, I say, reason with me. If you say something is not wrong with you, which God are you serving? You reverence human beings more than you reverence the Almighty God. Dresses you cannot wear to a state house. You are looking for a job. Dress that you cannot go for interview for a job in a company. Dress that you cannot wear to go for an interview. You will wear it and come to a holy God to worship him. What revelation do you have of that God? You will say, because today is Sunday, you are going to church. You are going and they are going to tell you, lift up your hands and worship the Lord. You select a dress purposely that you know if you lift up your hands, your stomach will show. Or did you wear that dress by accident? You took measurements. You told the tailor the length of the cloth. You went to dressing room and tested it. You did like this. You say, oh, that is good. This is fine. A Christian said that is fine. You go and then meet a tailor to sew cloth for you. In those days, they used to tear it from the back. Do you know where they tear it from now? It's from the front. It's from the front they tear it. It's no more from the back. You don't have to let me pass you before you look. While I'm coming, you can be looking now. And a man of God is saying, that is beautiful. A man of God in the pulpit like this, open Bible and he's holding it. He's a servant of the living God. And he's telling you, that is beautiful. And you don't know the mystery. That is the delusion God is speaking of. church. I told you, you can't enter this Porto Porto and I'll come and tell you lies here. Stop it. I said, okay, all right. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, there are some of women that will be guilty of adultery, yet no man has ever slept with them. Why? The Bible says, if a man looketh upon a woman and lust in his heart, what are you guilty of? He said, you will be guilty of what? Adultery. And one person cannot commit adultery. Adultery is an act between a man and a woman. Therefore, the man has committed adultery with you already. Why? Because you open yourself up. The man, if you didn't dress like that, he wouldn't have lusted after you like that. Although I also know some that even if you cover like those Arab women that cover and leave only eye open like this, if they look at you, they will still lust. Now, I'm not talking about that type of men. There are some men that anything that passes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Those ones, they are dogs, not human beings. Glory be to God. And so you have to check yourself. These things are strange in Christianity. Remember, Isaac dug back the wells that his fathers drank from. The Philistines covered it with earth. The human ideas that have perverted the word of God. Isaac has been raised up again. And we are bringing the people back to Bible Christianity. Back to Bible Christianity. As a roundup, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As a roundup, let me quickly say something. In very few minutes, it's important. Because somebody says, a ring distinguishes between a man and a woman. Amen. Well, let me tell you, there are men now that even wear earrings. Amen. And I always say something, that a man, that sister, when you were born, immediately you were born, hallelujah, you ask the doctor, the man ask the doctor, now man have been a woman. The doctor say, na woman, no, oh, congratulations. Na earring is see before you know say na woman. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now there's also something strange I want to quickly note here. I am aware, and this is where many of us miss it. Sisters, I have to talk to you for a while. I'm aware that there are some sisters that the voice of God came to them directly and told them not to wear a ring. Do we have any here? No, can you stand up? Let's be sure. No. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Sit down. Sit down. Now the question is, why will God go to this sister and tell her, I don't want you to wear a ring? And he will not go to another one to tell her the same thing and just leave her like that. Why? It happens, and this is where a lot of people get stumbled. I have had people who say, well, I have to be convinced. I'm not convinced. You are correct. You must do things out of conviction. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says anything that is not done of faith is sin. Faith there is revelation. If you are not doing something because it's revelation, you are wasting your time, because very soon you will be tired, you will go back to it. But if it's a revelation, bam, it's like that. I'm also aware that I asked a sister the other day during our Bible study. I said, You are not wearing a ring. Why? The only answer she had was, our mother, my mother brought us up not to wear a ring. Therefore, her only reason for not wearing a ring is her mother. So, after, if her mother died, she can go back and wear it. Because she does not want to offend her mother. Hallelujah. I'm also aware that there are some people, because there was a time my wife was asking me that whenever she goes out, her friends will be asking her, that was sometime in 1990 or so, her friends will be asking her, why are you not wearing a ring? Ah, how can you be Yeah, because your husband not there for a second, they dress like this. Hey. And she said, okay, why will I answer them? Which scripture should I quote for them? I told her, you don't need any scripture. Anybody that meets you, why are you not wearing a ring? Tell them, your husband says you should not wear a ring. Otito. If they follow me, pay your bride price, they may then convince you otherwise. Because a good wife dresses to please her husband. So it is enough. It is enough that this is how your husband wants it. Okay, what if my husband wants me to dress with, he likes to see my lap anytime they walk out, and he says I should cut my hair. He likes me to look like by Alinko. Amen. The Bible says, obey your husband as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. I'm talking about a Christian relationship. There are some women that have married men that have psychiatric problem. Because it is a man with psychiatric problem that will like his wife to dress on the street and let men be seeing her labs. The man has a problem. If he wants to see your nakedness, why must he share with another man? Enter bedroom, lock door, and then put on your birthday suit for him. Praise the Lord. So I'm talking to women that are married to proper men. That a man wants you to look like a Christian. He tells you, don't do it like this, don't do it like this, don't do it like this. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why will God tell one sister and not tell another? Ezekiel chapter 14. He says, son of man, listen. He said, if these people come to you with idols in their hearts and come to inquire of me, he said, should I answer such people? If you read it from verse 1, Ezekiel chapter 14. He said, he, God, will answer them according to what? The idols of their hearts. Brethren, hallelujah. There are some daughters of God that have problem of catching revelation fast. Listen to me. There are three categories. I'm mentioning them now. One category is they are slow in catching revelation. But if they catch it, they will obey it. So God can go to them, my daughter, blessing. He said, stop that earring. Hey, God, now you say, he's not going to ask him, where is there for Bible? I am satisfied with Jesus every day. Nothing's gonna be wrong on my way to the glory. That's all. Either by dream or by audible voice or by vision, if that is okay, if you like, do anything, she will never bring that thing near her. There is another one that once you can take time and open the scriptures and show her, it may take some time, but through the scriptures, she's going to see it. God will deal with such ones through the scripture. Why? Because that person needs to know it through the scripture Because God is going to expose that sister to a condition where she will need these scriptures to also explain to others. So he uses scripture for her to understand. The one that will not be confronted with situation where she has to explain to anybody, if you tell her, say, why are you not wearing this? And you say, eh, Jesus, tell me, somebody can know where I beg. He not tell you, say, ah, me, tell me. That's all her gospel. Now, but there is the third group where even if Jesus come and tell them by voice, even as I'm preaching now, they hang a ring and fire, they burn them now. Even if, like a sister was arguing in one of our intermessage churches at Ikeja, was arguing over this hearing with her pastor. She had lived in America for so long. And with this, you people in Africa, you're making this thing too tough. What is it got to do with this in the heart? You're too much. God is a good God. It's grace. And grace. Okay. One day she was in the house. Armed robbers entered the house. Bah. They brought out the gun to let them know, say they mean and they shoot. Bah, bah. Hey. Of all the things they were asking her is, where is your box of jewelry? Where is your box of jewelry? He did. She went and packed, plus the one for ear, plus the one for hand, for leg. He packed all of them, give them. He said, idiot. They took off and went. They didn't take any other thing other than that box of jewelry. If that sister does not see those armed robbers as angels of God, then she will never know God anymore. From that day, she know where. Pastor said, ah, sister, you know they wear earring again. He said, ah, pastor, a long story. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now listen also. Now listen. Listen, church. I put a note here. In this age, everybody is saying, I love God. I love God. I told you the processes of separation. If I spend 10 minutes now, I don't close. Just if people stand up and go. And just drop your offering and go. Just give me 10 minutes. Amen. Everybody say, I love God, I love God. Everybody is now, you know, doing something for God. I love God. Oh, I love the man of Galilee. Oh, Jesus. Oh, the anointing. Everybody is going to church now. Last week, I was watching on television. Oris Willikis. There's a musician like that. Oris Willikis. Eh? Oris Willikis has just released a gospel album. Hey! Oh! Everybody loves Jesus. Everybody loves Jesus. This is the bait. Hallelujah. This is the bait. The young rich ruler met with the Lord Jesus Christ. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus Christ quoted the 10 commandments to him. Don't kill. Don't steal. Love your neighbor. This and that. He said, ah. Friend, you don't bomb me. 10 commandments. So, everybody can keep the 10 commandments. But let's see whether you can go beyond the 10 commandments. He told him, one thing more remain if you must make it. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor and lay up your treasure in heaven. Hey, come and follow me. The man said, Joy, this your gospel is too hard. The man miserably walked away. Why? It is easy to keep to the one that is written here. There is the written word of God. There is the spoken word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is the written word of God. there is the spoken word of God. You accept this as coming from God because it is written. If God comes with his servant and tells you, thus say the Lord, and does not tell you to do anything contrary to this Bible, will you do it? He reserved that and told the servant in this age, tell all of them, the women, let them not wear a ring, and you will know who believes the message and who does not believe. Is there anything too hard that you will drop for the gospel's sake? If it is not an idol in your heart, what is it when they say drop this? If a man that is your husband, you are married to a man that is your husband, he tells you, I don't want you to wear a ring, will you wear a ring? If you wear it, will he not divorce you? How much more your spiritual husband? He's telling you this is how you should dress. You are arguing with him. Why? In Deuteronomy chapter 8, let's read it. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, listen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 8, see. It says, okay. Now it says, verse 2. It says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Why did he take them through the wilderness for 40 years? To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wilt have keep his commandments or not. God, didn't he know those who will not keep the commandment? Didn't he know? There are people that are following this message, coming to Bride Assembly, following the message with Abraham, following this, following Jesus, everybody is following. Doesn't God know who is who among you? He knows. They were to take a 40-day journey. He, God, made sure the journey, he took them through different routes. Why? To prove them. He wants to know why, whether you people will follow me, obey me or not. And it's not that he didn't know. He knew. He only gave them time for everybody to manifest himself. And everybody manifested himself. Out of hunger, they started abusing God. You see? And he added there, the reason he did that is so that man will know, you will know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded forth from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He mentioned something about the God of this age, this evil age that has blinded the people. The God of this evil age that has blinded the people. And the God of this evil age, there are two of them. The two of them, the first one is money. Because 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 says, the love of money is the root of all evil. He said, which many coveted after and have made shipwrecked of their faith. Coveting after money, you made a shipwreck of your faith. So many people, money has blinded your eyes from seeing the truth. The second God is fashion, otherwise known as worldliness. It's fashion. And my Bible tells me in 1 John chapter 2, we read it from verse 15, that you should love not the world, because the love of this world is enmity with God. They can't work together. So worldliness, your fashions are after the fashions of the world. No. A Christian wants to move with the latest trends, latest designs, latest. characters you should emulate are no more Bible characters. They are characters from films that you watch. You are picking movie characters to dress like them, to walk like them. When you see a Christian walking like this, where did he learn it from? Where did he learn it from? You have not seen young Christians these days. They will wear cloth that is oversized. They will not button the sleeve. They will leave it is hanging. Then there's the jeans. He will wear it and bring it down. Eh? Then the thing is very wide and it's dragging on the way. Then where is going? Where did he learn it from? From a worldly musician in a film. And it's a shame on parents that bring up such children. It's a shame on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a statement I heard somebody saying. Somebody said he has freedom to smoke anywhere he likes. He said the freedom you have to smoke ends where my nose begins. That's the truth. You have smoke. You have the right to smoke a cigarette. But I also have a right to breathe clean air. So your freedom must end where my nose begins. Where my nose ends. Amen. How many of you have homes that you can't even dictate how your home should look like? Even if the person doesn't believe, at least since he's under your roof, you are the papa, you are the mama. You don't have standard for your house. When they ask a Christian parent, they say, now their time. You know, these young boys, now their time. Which time? So many of us, we give account of how we brought up our children before God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is Christian beauty? Christian beauty is different from worldly beauty. And let me even tell you something. As Christian women began to propagate what Christian beauty is, that is, trying by all means to appear natural. Now, I say Christian beauty. I say what? Beauty. Beauty. Beauty, oh. Because some people go, you know, to the extreme in this thing we are saying. A Christian woman will not even put powder. What? That's worldliness. Powder. Hey. Therefore, a Christian woman will not even do manicure. A Christian woman will not even wash her hair. 24 hours, you cover the hair. And if you cover that hair for 24 hours, you are damaging that hair because that hair will smell, that hair will cut off, and you will give account of what you did with that hair to God. The Bible doctrine tells us when praying or prophesying. It's a church order. When we're here like this, you cover that hair according to the scripture. And there should be no other interpretation to that. But when you are in your time, the hair is given to you. It's a glory of the woman. It adds to your beauty, natural beauty. You must dress that hair well. But you will not dress it the worldly way. That's what we are saying. When we talk about attachments, you understand what we mean by attachments. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. Why will you, an African, want to attach something on your hair to look like America? Now, by mistake, God make you African. And it's inferiority complex. It's your maker you are challenging by that. You are not proud that God has made you an African. It's just this nonsense going on in the world. Africans are bleaching their skins to look like Oyibo. Oyibo are looking for sun to turn their skin black. Just confusion. It's wrong. Be natural. And as our Christian women began to propagate this, do you know now the world is about to copy Christians?
Do you know now that celebrities, some of them now, don't wear earrings? Eh? It is now becoming another fashion that they are trying to copy from the church. And that is how it should be. We should not copy them. They should copy us. Amen. See, sister, you said man, not they come to you for marriage. Eh? Man, not they come to you. You said a curse. No, be curse, sister. It's even covenant. Since, sir pastor, do you know since they born me, no man don't come to me and say, sister, I want to marry you. And me too, I'll be worried. How a sister like this? He said, no man come to you. Even play play. You don't tell you, sir, I'll go marry you. No, even play play. He said, even play play. Hallelujah. Why? Amen. Sister, change your mode of dressing. Hallelujah. Every man, whether he's a believer or unbeliever, wants to marry a woman that he will be guaranteed will be a true wife. And they know how they are out there in the world because they know, those unbelievers, they know what they are doing with people's wives outside. So he's imagining, make I come marry a woman where another man go they play with for my back. So where will I go that I will see a woman that I will marry and she will stay at home? Then you see them. They will not go to Regu. You know where they will go? They will, first and foremost, they will go to Bagada. Or if they hear of Ijesha, they will come towards Ijesha. Why? They are looking for a woman that they are sure is a Christian. And in this age, for a young woman to drop this worldly attachments, this worldly dressing, in this age, it will take an action of the Holy Ghost for that woman to do that. And a woman that can be that fearful of God and be obedient up to that point certainly will be a wife material. That's why, sister, you are telling me the only people that are coming to our unbelievers are unbelievers. Why? And I'm telling you, I've answered some of you. I told you, yes, it's because they have seen something in you that makes you different from those unbelievers. What is the first thing that attracts them to you? They see your dressing. You are battling to look like the world. You are thinking that all those your friends that are busy there, going up and down, getting husband, drop to the carry outside there. You say, what did they make them get husband like this? It's because then they dress, then they leave their breast, then they leave with him. Maybe me can dress like that. They go. But meanwhile, if they see you and they come, you don't know that all that is attractive to them, what your unbelieving friends do, you will not do it. They want to take you to bed. The first thing, of course, your dressing invited them now. There is the attire of a harlot, advertising for customers. So the kind of person that will come is the person that wants to take you to bed. Then when you come, say, Holy Ghost fire. You see me here, finish. You say, Holy Ghost fire. Which Holy Ghost fire? You dress inviting them like a prostitute. They're coming and they say, sister, how much? You say, what do you mean? You say, 1 hour, how much? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I told you people the example I gave the other day. Hallelujah. Of our brother. Brother Ngozika. That time he had a Peugeot. Hallelujah. He had a Peugeot 504 car. And then he works at the airport. Amen. Now, at the airport, airport taxis are painted blue. Eh? Then, of all the colors that he will paint his car, his private car, he went and painted it blue. Am I correct, Ngozika? Eh? He went and painted his private car taxi color. So every time he enter moto, he's going to work. I said, S, airport, S, airport. He's looking at them. Idiots.
Na my motto.
Now they say stop. I be taxi. Am I taxi?
If you are not taxi, why did you paint it taxi color? Genuine Christian sister, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the fear of God, wake up in the morning, and then all you see, you speak in tongue. Oh, cha-cha, today na fire. I mean, build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the spirit. Then you are ready for the day. You carry your handbag, you paint your face, you do this one, you carry this one, then you carry spaghetti. Is it spaghetti? Then you wear it. Then you carry the one, you tear it here, put one tight something. Then you look yourself in the mirror. You do this one. Remove your eyebrow. Take black pencil. Cover it up. Hey, paint your face. Paint this one. Yes. Today is the day the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going for work. Speaking in tongue in the street and you are going. Who is going? Born again Christian, filled with the Holy Ghost. She's speaking in tongue and she's going. Small time. If Agbero see you and they say, hey, sister is turning, say, hey, chakara mama, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. Which Holy Ghost fire? You have dressed in a way attracting them to call you. We are saying Holy Ghost fire. Which Holy Ghost fire? It's the way you dress that you will be addressed. Christian woman, genuine Christian woman, yet dressing like the world. No, this is the present truth. We must not dress like that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you read 1 Peter chapter 3, just write it down. From verse 2, read it up to verse 16. The dressing of a Christian, that is how you should dress. And Apostle Paul, in 1 Timothy also chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, tells us to dress moderately, in modest apparel. And I don't have time to describe what that modesty is, but you know what modesty is. There is no picture, no design, nothing for anybody to say this is how the dress must be. But Apostle Peter says we should dress in a way that professes godliness. Dress in a way somebody will see you, and there should be something about even your appearance that professes godliness. Be as natural as possible, because that dressing of a woman has something to say. Revelation chapter 19, if you read it from verse 6, it says the marriage of the Lamb has come. Hallelujah. She has made herself ready, and to her it is given that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean, white. And that array there is dressing of the bride, clean and white. And the dressing of the bride is what? Is the appearance of the bride spiritually and physically. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you read that Genesis 35 where we read, you will discover that the Bible says that as they dropped those strange gods, they went on their journey, the enemy did not pursue them again. But do you know that when Jacob left Laban, Rachel took one of those gods of Laban? Because she took one of the gods of Laban, Laban came after them, pursuing them. If not for God that warned Laban, you know what would have happened to Jacob. And so many of us, that demon will never leave you because you have the property of the devil. The Bible says, as they dropped those strange gods, they continued the journey. Anywhere the enemy saw them, the enemy bowed. So many of us, you continue to repeat your deliverance. Continue to repeat it. Continue to repeat it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? Because you are carrying some strange things. And the owner of the property will continue to pursue after you. Apostle Paul,
in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5, it said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Are you still in a bondage, denominational bondage, denominational hangover? Are you still battling with what is true Christianity? You come this far like the rich young ruler, needed eternal life, stood before eternal life, turned back from eternal life and walked away. What other opportunity are you looking for? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? The gospel I'm preaching is to the bride of Jesus Christ. The gospel is not for everybody. Don't reach a point where your ears will be blocked by God. Don't do that, and God will bless you. Shall we stand up?